This is Windows Observer Launch Control. We are just seconds away from the start of the Observe Tech podcast. Stand by for final sequencing and launch. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we have launch of the Observe Tech podcast. Keeping an eye on Windows and other things tech, here is your host, Richard Hay of WindowsObserver.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Observe Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Rich Hay from WindowsObserver.com and IT Pro Today. Good to be with you on Cyber Monday. This is kind of a get back into the swing of things. I've been off for the last 2 weeks. I took a week's worth of vacation last week and just chilled out, took it easy. My wife and I went for our normal trip down to Orlando for the Thanksgiving holiday. And back with you today, going to talk, catch you up a little bit about where we stand with Microsoft and Windows 10 and Redstone 4, a few other Windows and Microsoft-related headlines, and a couple other tidbits. This won't be a real long show, but it will get us back on track. And this is episode 252, our second of our next 250 episodes. So going to start off and talk a little bit about Redstone 4 and where we stand. So over the last couple weeks, we have had three builds released, and so you've got you've had build 17035 that was released, you've had 17040 that was released, and 17046 that was released. So they have released several new features, nothing crazy like over the top, totally changing anything. That's just not going to happen with Windows 10 anymore. Everything's going to be very incremental. There's a lot of tweaking going on. This last build, 17046, that came out last, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, was really tweaked a lot of the on-screen keyboard and things like that. So you won't find, you know, huge makeovers here, but you will find that there are a lot of options that are starting to get worked on the kind of surface level, and to make that more efficient and work better. So in build 17035, the big deal in that was delivery optimization updates, and so I wrote about that and how you can control the amount of bandwidth that your system uses for downloading updates and app, not just OS updates, but app updates. And then in build 17040, the big focus there was they did some updated settings for your HDR displays and how it displays standard definition content. And then they introduced something that people have been asking for a very long time, and that is the shape writing keyboard, shape writing with the wide touch keyboard on a screen. So they had previously implemented this in Fall Creators Update using the small compact on-screen keyboard. So if you're on a tablet or something like that, you had a small keyboard that you could use, which worked just fine. But a lot of people were asking for it on the wider one. So what this build implemented was shape writing on that wide touch keyboard. So it's pretty cool. I have both the 8-inch and the 10-inch New Vision tablets, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later about how I got them back up and running again. But it's pretty cool to be able to use swipe typing, you know, the shape writing to be able to create the words, and it's got the prediction and all that kind of stuff that you're used to seeing on Windows 10 Mobile. So it's a pretty neat feature, and it is now implemented on the latest Redstone 4 builds. What else did they do? They some serious work on the handwriting panel. I really like how this has been updated, and as words are recognized, they're moved off to the left. They've introduced some new gestures for inserting words or inserting letters or bringing things together and doing editing and things like that. So they've updated that quite a bit. There's a new gesture called commit that you can draw a backwards L, basically, a backwards 90-degree angle, and it will let you commit that text to wherever it is going. So if it's in a text box and you're writing in Notepad or Word or Twitter or something like that, this new 90-degree angle, when you bracket the end of what you've written on the handwriting panel, it will commit that content into the document you're writing or wherever the text box is that you're writing. So pretty cool stuff there. And then there was just a ton of fixes and general kind of things that they've addressed with different improvements and fixes for the PC side. And so you can see that whole list of things on build 17040. And then in 17046, this was the build that came out last week. right before Thanksgiving here in the United States. Microsoft Edge got an improvement for form fill. So now there's an option when Edge detects that you are filling out a form, it will ask you if you want to save that information for later use. And there's also a way to go into the Edge settings and edit that and put in the information so it's already available. And that way, when Edge gets to a form and it recognizes it as such, and you've stored that data in Edge to in your advanced settings, you can then, it will automatically incorporate that stuff into the form for you. So that's very handy. They've added text spacing to reading view when you're looking at an EPUB book to help clean up the legibility of different letters and thing and the words on the screen. UWP options. This is pretty cool. Now, if you've been working with Windows 10 for a while, you know that there are, you can go into settings, apps, and features, and then you can find your specific app and then find the advanced options. And under advanced options, you can do things like control the tile. You can reset the app so that you can, this sometimes will help clean up issues with apps that might not be loading properly or not functioning correctly. This now on your start menu and your start screen, you can right click on a tile and there is now an option to go to settings, go straight there. So you don't have to go open up settings and then drill down four or five layers in order to get to that advanced settings for an app. You can actually right click on it now. There's an option called settings and it will take you straight to that point. So it's pretty handy. Very handy. This I also mentioned that there were updates. They did an overhaul on the touch keyboard related to emoji and some other stuff like that. So that has been cleaned up. You can now insert multiple emoji using the emoji keyboard. So that's available. And they did several keyboard improvements in general. And then all the improvements and fixes and stuff like that. Again, a very long list of things that they've done some work in order to get things cleaned up a little bit and to continue to improve the stability side of Redstone 4. And then there is some known issues, so you need to stay up to date on these and make sure you understand what is an issue with the system and what Microsoft knows is going on. And don't forget, if you run into a problem, you give the feedback in the feedback hub. That way, they can continue to work on this stuff. We're, you know, it's post-Thanksgiving here in the U.S., so we're at the end of November. You probably are looking at maybe 2 to 3 more builds would be my prediction before the end of the year. If we're getting one a week, then you're probably looking at 3. So there'll be one this week, next week, the first week of December, and then one the second week of December. And then that brings us to the middle of the month of December. That is very typically when things slow down a lot at Microsoft because people are taking vacation time and things around the holidays. So you can fully expect that at some point in the next 2 or 3 builds, that will be all that we see until the beginning of 2018. And you got to remember, when they come back to work in 2018, they may be back the first week of January, because I believe the 1st of January is a Monday this year. That does not mean that they will be ramped up for releasing that next build. So I personally think we'll probably get the last build of Redstone 4 mid-December, and then we won't see the next one probably until at least the second week of January at the earliest, and that will allow them to get on board, get the self-host going, looking at the data from it, and making sure it's ready to go. So that is kind of what you're looking at over the next several weeks when it comes to Redstone 4. And this is not abnormal. This is quite normal. This is what they do at this time of year. And so just keep in mind that that is going on. Wrote a couple weeks ago about one of the builds that we got. I think it was 17.035. And what was interesting about this build is that there were some elements of the new Windows timeline was 17.040. So with 17.040, you now have a link in settings that will take you to a link, it's called Activity History, and then from there you can go to the Microsoft account website, which has got a new, is on the privacy portal, there is a new option there to look at your activity history. Now this activity history comes to play in Windows Timeline. This is part of a Microsoft graph, what they call the Microsoft graph, and ultimately this data, this activity history, will be given a UI on Redstone 4, and it will start to be displayed in that UI on Windows 10 so that you can see what you were doing on other devices and pick up where you left off and vice versa. So as you move between devices, if you're using multiple devices, this will be very, very handy. Now, we already have a little bit of this on the mobile side to desktop, because on Android and iOS, for instance, if you installed the Microsoft Edge app, you've got the ability to share to PC or push it to one of your PCs. You can put the link there right now and open it up in the browser in Edge, or you can put it in, you can send an alert to the Action Center where it will be available across that first device, whatever device it is that you log into after you've shared that link. Same thing goes if you're using Cortana. There's some pickup where you left off stuff. So we're starting to see these elements start to come together. I kind of expected that when we got 17.046 that we might have seen that UI. However, it was not shown off there, so we don't know when it's coming. But Windows Timeline is one of those big features that were announced back at Build, that was demoed back at Build as being part of the Fall Creators Update, but it didn't make the cut. Ultimately, I don't think it ever made it into any build of Redstone 3. So Redstone 4 is the first opportunity for it to become part of the OS, and we have seen those first elements. Now they just need to give us the UI so that it's displayed on the devices so that we can look back at that history. There are links in the settings. So if you go to App History or Activity History, you can click on it, go to the Microsoft account website, and you can manage that data. You can clear everything from within the settings on your device, or you can go and clear out individual items from your activity history. But don't forget, you know, don't go on a privacy rant here, because these are all things that Windows knows about you because you've given permission for them to be known. You've either given permission for your location to be tracked, you've given permission for your searches to be tracked and monitored or saved. All of these things have either been done through Cortana's notebook or through other apps with upon the system. So this is not secret data. This is not being secretly collected. This is information that you have explicitly given permission to Microsoft to collect. All right. Now, I mentioned the new Vision tablets earlier and how cool it is to be able to shape right on those. Well, I had come to a point with both of these devices. You know, these were these inexpensive ones, right? One was like $49 for the 8-inch, and I think the 10-inch was like $69. So they were really good deals at the Microsoft store over the last 6 months. But what's actually almost a year now, because I think the first one was last December, but they're nice devices for consumption. That's a nice size. The 10-inch even came with a pen where you could use the inking features and capability and handwriting. Well, I'd come to a point where I turned one into a insider machine, and it just because of only having 32 gigabyte of space on it, of hard drive storage, and it doesn't have all that, it was a challenge to constantly upgrade to the new builds. I was always running into problems. And so I'd left it set on the shelf for several months. Then the 10-inch one simply needed to be updated, but I was having a problem with the updates. It would not install the Fall Creators Update. So using a wired mouse and a wired keyboard and a special hub, little hub that I could plug into the micro USB port, I actually got both devices up and running with the latest releases of Windows 10. And so I wrote this up and shared the steps that I went through. What you got to get together, the drivers. You got to have the drivers. You got to create an install USB drive. And then you've got to rig all this together so that you can start that installation process. And I did it all in the course of a day. So I had them sitting on the side, and I just let them go to work and get the installs done. And then I did the updates and the app updates, and now both are running the current release of Fall Creators Update, including all the cumulative updates. So if you're looking for, if you took advantage of those tablets and you're looking to get them up to date or sorted out, maybe things aren't working right, there's a way to clean install, and it's not hard to do at all as long as you've got a wired keyboard and a wired mouse to help you through that process. So you can go check out the steps of that I wrote up. A couple of interesting stories floating around in the last couple weeks. First off is ARM, Windows 10 on ARM. We keep hearing different leaks and hints that this stuff is coming before the end of the year. I think it's got to come within the next 2 to 3 weeks for the same reasons I said that I think we're only going to have 2 to 3 more builds of Redstone 4 before the holiday stand down at Microsoft. And that is for that stand down. So if something's coming, it needs to be coming soon. But it's some, you know, they're not crazy, outrageous performance numbers that the people are starting to see about the new Snapdragon laptops. However, the big deal here is the portability and the battery life. The fact that it is so good on power that the battery will last on these laptops running on Windows 10 ARM on these Snapdragon chips for a very, very long time. Windows 10 and Android. Very interesting write-up about how they're strange bedfellows, but there's a lot of potential. I've written about this many, many times. And this is the whole kind of ecosystem thing that Joe Belfiore talked about back at Build in May, back in earlier this year in Seattle. And the fact that, you know, Microsoft is focusing on the ecosystem of devices that people have. As long as you've got a Windows 10 device in the middle there, that will connect everything. And I've already talked about it. Share to PC. Pick up where you left off. All these features are part of that ecosystem, part of that capability of being able to pick up an activity you're doing on one device and pick it up on another device. The Windows timeline is a piece of this. We're still waiting on that UI element of it so that we can see it and use it on Windows 10 Redstone 4, but that is coming. There's no doubt that that's coming, and they're going to have time to implement that. So we're watching that. That's this new big ecosystem of devices. Microsoft's been pushing apps and software to iOS and Android for quite a while now, much to the chagrin of all the Windows users out there who would get frustrated that something wasn't on Windows 10 Mobile. But the reality is that's where all the customers are. I've said that before. That's where they're going to go, and that's what's going on here. And that's why they're tying it all together, because they've come to the reality that you might be, you know, the vast majority of people do use Windows systems. And if you tie them together in an easy way, I love being able to share this content across devices. So that's what they're talking about there when it comes to Android and Windows 10. There was also an interesting write-up about putting Linux on the desktop. Now, you know, in Windows 10, the Bash shell is there. There's a way to install different Linux distributions from the Windows Store. But this is really talking about using the PC as an alternative, using Linux on that PC as an alternative to running Windows 10, for instance, and upgrading an older device that might not run Windows 10 just as well or be just as secure, and talking about using Linux for that. And so it's a very interesting story here from Jason Perlow. And so it's in his Tech Broiler column. So I highly recommend that you give that a read, because he talks about how that might just be an alternative for people. You know, honestly, I don't see a vast majority. People are more likely to move to using an iPad as a computer as opposed to, you know, moving to Linux on the desktop. Linux on the desktop can be extremely challenging. It can be challenging to be kept up to date. It can be challenging to install drivers and make sure your hardware works. I guess once you get it going, you know, that might not be a bad idea. But again, it's something you have to consider and look at and see how it will fit in with your kind of setup and how you work and what you work with, because not everything will be compatible. Stardock's Groupie, I wrote this up real quick a couple weeks ago, within the last couple weeks. This is Groupie is from Stardock. Stardock does a thing called Object Desktop, which includes several different programs. But Groupie, which is being beta tested right now, adds tabs to files like Windows 10 UI, Windows UI. Actually, it works on 7 and 8, I think, too. It puts tabs in the File Explorer, something people have been asking for a very long time. Now, there are some stories out there where some of the tweakers and geeks have found evidence that there's a tabbed UI coming to Windows 10, but it's not been implemented yet. So the suspicion is that this feature is coming to Windows 10, but if you don't want to wait for that, because it won't be official until next year in spring of 2018 when Redstone 4 is released. But in the interim, if you wanted to get it from Stardock, it'll cost $10, and then you can implement that on any UI that comes up on Windows 10. I even think it will work with some of the UWP programs as well. So I think I'm going to try it when it comes out. Right now, the beta is only available to Object Desktop subscribers. That is a $30 program. So you can get it now if you want through that process, or wait until it's released out of beta and it'll be $10 and you can try it out then. We also heard in the last couple of weeks that Microsoft extended support for Windows 10 version 15.11 for enterprise and education customers. So they got an extra 6 months. This is the November update that was released the fall that Windows 10 first came out back in 2015. That has now been, it was supposed to expire last month in October. but they took and extended it for an additional 6 months to support some of their customers that are in the process of making a move. Windows 10 mobile and Windows phone in the news lately, not about going away, but actually about two options to get one if you want. One is Trek Store. They are releasing, they're doing Indiegogo in order to, they have raised over 47 million or 47,000 euro from 252 pack, and it's a €700 Windows phone. So Trek Store is offering a phone. The $699 is three phones. They're €249. This is all euro on their own. And then you can even go five of them for $1,149 and or go even bigger and get 10 of them for $21.99. So there are some savings depending on how quickly you want to do it. The estimate is March of 2018 for the first phones to be released and shipped. So it's interesting to see somebody putting this much effort into Windows 10 Mobile this late in the game. Windows 10 Mobile's had its last update. The Fall Creators update was very quietly released and put onto phones. So, and then this past Black Friday, in fact, it's still available today, the 27th of November, the Alcatel Idol 4S. They're selling it for like $170 through the Microsoft Store. And while that's a great phone, and you will get, you know, at $169, I estimate Fall Creators Update will be supported on Windows 10 Mobile for another 2 years. That's about the average of what they've supported every release of Windows 10 Mobile. Well, that means for $170, you will get 2 years of use out of that phone. So if you want the Alcatel Idol, you can get it. I think it's unlocked on the site, and it's for $169. So it might be worthwhile for 2 years worth of use if you still want to get that. But understand the limitations that are out there when it comes to apps and things like that. Now, another phone that Microsoft has started to sell in the Microsoft Store for a while there, remember we saw the Samsung Galaxy being sold there, the new S8. Well, now the Razer phone, this new Android phone from Razer, is being sold. It's $699. This is a high-end device. It's gotten some pretty positive reviews online. And so this could be the next, you know, everybody's been talking about, is Microsoft about to partner with an Android manufacturer and create a Microsoft Android version of a phone? You know, we've got the Microsoft launcher that's out there, it's in beta, a lot of work going on with that. You've got all the apps that are available on Android. So there's been a lot of discussion about whether or not some hardware company building Android phones might partner with Microsoft in order to create, quote unquote, a Microsoft phone that's on Android. Well, the Razer phone is one of those that has come up in that discussion. So if you're looking to get the Razer phone, you can check that out. Xbox One X, looking like really good sales. That's been out now for a couple weeks. It looks like early sales indicate that it is doing very, very well, both here in the U.S. and overseas. One place it's not doing well, apparently, is over in China in the Far East, because it's just not beating the other consoles that are available over there. They released game gifting to everybody prior to Black Friday, so that means for the Christmas holiday, you can actually gift a game digitally from your console or from the Xbox app or the Microsoft Store on your Windows 10 computer. You can gift a game that's for Windows 10 or for Xbox One console to someone. You can do it by email. You can do it by gamertag. So that option is now available to everybody, and it's just in time for the holidays. What's pretty cool, what's neat about this is the convenience, but unfortunately it's got a limitation. It is region locked. So I cannot, for instance, I cannot gift something to somebody who's on the UK region of European region or something like that. I cannot gift across regions. I can only gift within the same region. So that's a bit of a limitation there. I put a link to this story in here because I always find these stories fascinating. Owen Williams, who I have followed for quite a few years, is somebody who's worked on and used Apple devices for a very long time. And he recently went through a process of looking for a new laptop because he was disappointed of where things were with the MacBook Air or the Mac Air and MacBook and things like that. Well, he has settled down on Windows 10 and a Windows 10 laptop. And so it's an interesting read to see kind of how he went from one to the other and how he made the choice to make this move. and not look back when it comes to, you know, the device that is proving to be productive for him. So it's an interesting story there from Owen. HP, we talked about bots and AI a lot here, but HP is, here's another proof in fact of showing how AI or a bot that's hooked to a good data source can help people find things, help people solve problems. This is a simple one as far as finding support. HP has released a bot that is actually helping people find their answers faster to problems they're having with their HP devices. I just read, when was it, this morning or last night, that Twitter support now has a bot that you can DM Twitter support and start a conversation with and help to find fixes and help for different things on Twitter, for instance. This is happening across the board. This is happening in a lot of different places. And it is, it's pretty amazing to see the work that's going into these bots. When you tie them to a data source and you use these AI capabilities where they can be inquisitive and they can ask you follow-on questions and help you find information, it can happen a lot faster than waiting for, say, a support agent who has to go through a script and go step by step by step. So very interesting to see where all this is going. The next thing, Mozilla released Firefox Quantum Browser. This is a fast browser. I'm using this browser. Unfortunately, I have to use Firefox at times. Not unfortunately, it's a good browser. I've used Firefox for quite a while, but I have a couple sites that I access that I have to use. Firefox just works better with them. Well, Quantum continues that process, and Quantum is a very, very fast browser and one that Firefox has talked a lot about. And so that is now out for the public. You can find it and download it and put it to use. And I think you will be very, very impressed with the capabilities of this browser for sure. Some of the, you know, I've talked before about IT Pro Today and our transition to the new site from our old sites. And so I've expanded my collection of RSS feeds, and I'm looking at more cloud information from Amazon and from Google. And it, you know, it's pretty amazing. They're not things I followed closely before, but they are definitely doing a lot in that arena. They are doing so much when it comes to cloud that every day there are three or four different announcements on each of those other services where they're tweaking things or they're adding features or they're at, you know, upping the capabilities that are there. And I discovered in this process that they actually have something called WorkDocs. WorkDocs is Amazon's version of OneDrive. So it's cloud-based storage. It allows you to have access to information anywhere on any device sync through the cloud. And what's interesting about this one is they just released a piece of software called WorkDocs Drive that actually integrates with the File Explorer in Windows that gives you the capability of seeing that data right within your File Explorer. This is exactly the same experience we have with OneDrive, is that we got that tab in the File Explorer where we can look at our OneDrive cloud storage. And of course, we have OneDrive files on demand now with the Fall Creators update. Well, WorkDocs Drive introduces that on demand aspect to their cloud storage and the interface that you have for that. So if you're an Amazon Web Services user, this is available to you. You can go ahead and use it, get it set up, download the software, and get it installed and start using it for accessing your cloud storage over on Amazon. Hardware, what have I looked at recently? Logitech MX Sound Universal Speakers. These are really cool speakers. It's just a pair of speakers, so there's no big bass woofer kind of speaker that comes with some desktop options. They're Bluetooth capable. It's got a really cool interface on the right-hand speaker where you can approach it with your hand, and it will turn on the lighted controls that are underneath the surface of the speaker cloth. So you get options there for Bluetooth pairing and for volume up and down. But they're really a nice size, good sound. And I've been using those now for a few weeks on this system, on my podcasting system. And I'm really, really pleased with the way they work, how easy they are. Lots of options for setup. You can connect them to a PC. You can connect them to an auxiliary cord for, say, another device. Or you got Bluetooth pairing, which is available. And then I just recently got, Best Buy has sent me the Norton Core. So I'm going to get a chance to take an even deeper look at Norton Core and that secure router and what it's capable of doing for a home to be able to help protect more of the devices that are on your home network. So that's going to be coming later next month. Samsung Experience 9.0 beta is available. I've mentioned this before, but it's now available. Unfortunately, I'm on AT&T here in the U.S., and we are not eligible to try it because we have locked phones with the carrier. So you have to be on an unlocked phone, basically, to be able to try this out. Or a carrier over in the U.K., I think, has the option for that. Trust Project from Google. There's a lot of work going on being able to help identify what is solid content online. And the Trust Project from Google used several factors that they are computing and looking at in order to identify this content as being valid. And so if you're interested in that and want to check that out and how they're putting that and implementing it, you can go to this link that I've got in the show notes, like I do for everything that I talk about, and go look at these different criteria that they are going to be using for validating that content and identifying it, and they're gonna tag it so that you know that it's valid content, because there's just so much stuff that floats around out there that is just not valid. It's not from credible sources, and therefore, but unfortunately, it becomes part of the lexicon. It becomes part of the online content churn, and you end up getting involved with stuff that might not be accurate. So it's something good to check out. For those of you that have been around the internet for a while, you remember the CompuServe forums. They are shutting down. I didn't even know they still existed. It's kind of like AOL AIM that shut down last month or in the last couple months. I didn't even know that the CompuServe forums were still around. However, they are being shut down in December, so that is coming. So if you've been if you've been on the internet for a while, you know about the CompuServe forums, and they are going to be shut down in December. I think December 15th is the date. And then the last thing I want to mention is that, as many of you know, I've mentioned before that I not only am a Microsoft MVP for IT for Windows and devices, but I was also part of the inaugural group of Windows Insider MVPs that were selected last year. And we've been adding new features and new people to that group. Well, Microsoft just published on the Windows Insider website our profiles that are available for us as MVPs, as Windows Insiders. So I've got a link to that in the show notes, so you can go check that out. I think it's being hosted on the Insider website. Yeah, insider.windows.com. And then it's the community page. So there's a link for that on the main Insider website. And then you can go look people up who are there. And there's a nomination form that if you think someone should be nominated for the Windows Insider Program MVP, you can nominate those as well. So that is there for you to be able to use and peruse. All right, so there's episode 252. Nothing crazy long, just to get you caught up. We know where we stand with Windows 10 right now. We kind of know what's coming over the holidays most likely and what we should expect when it comes to builds. And then we talked about some of the new features that are out there for Windows 10 that we're starting to see come out in Redstone 4. And of course, we covered a whole bunch of other news for you, including Windows 10 mobile devices that are available right now, Android, iOS, and other capabilities that are being pulled together. So until this coming weekend when we give you episode 253, everybody stay safe out there. Today's Cyber Monday, so shop safely online. But whatever you do, keep your system up to date, and don't click on that link that says you got a free Amazon $50 gift card in the mail via email, because it's not real. They're not really sending you anything. All right, stay safe out there, everybody. We'll see you next week.